Show a little bit of Jesus each day. We're going to talk about home mission today. Home mission. What does it mean? I've spent the last month contemplating this thought. I asked various people in my life what home mission meant to them and have received some amazing and each a unique response. I'll share a few. Off the top of my head, it's starting each day to have my heart and mind open to touch people's lives when I come in contact with others, whether strangers or friends, to show a little bit of Jesus each day. Depends on the day, but home means comfort, and I automatically think snuggly blankets, kids, and movies. Yet on another day, it means cleaning, laundry, and exhaustion. My home mission was always to provide a safe and secure environment where each person was nurtured, loved beyond reason, and valued as them, where family means more than just the people living together. Sometimes family isn't regular family. It's family you have met on your journeys and who have become an important part of your life, kind of the sister from another mister. A safe and happy place for all who enter, particularly all the young people who we are so blessed to have hanging out with us. What is a real home? Edward Puritan, writing for Covenant Witness, gave us 10 things that characterize a real home. A real home is a gymnasium. The idea of a healthy body is the first one to give a child. A real home is a lighthouse. A lighthouse reveals the breakers ahead and shows a clear way past them. A real home is a playground. Beware of a house where you dasn't frolic. There, mischief is brewing for someone. A home is a workshop. Pity the boy without a kit of tools or the girl without a sewing basket. They have not learned the fun of doing things, and there is no fun like that. A real home is a forum. Honest, open discussion of life's great problems belongs originally in the family circle. A real home is a secret society. Loyalty to one's family should mean keeping silent on family matters. Just this and nothing more. A real home is a health resort. Mothers are natural physicians. A real home is a cooperative league. Households flourish where the interest of each is made the interest of all. A real home is a haven of refuge. The world does this for us all. It makes us hunger for a loving sympathy and a calming, soothing touch. A real home is a template of worship. My personal definition has evolved through my study. Initially, it was just my home. Then it included those in my home. I have found two main keys to home mission: God and family. I'd like to share what I believe are the pieces that make home mission important to each one of us. And I'm going to disclose that I feel very unworthy to have this talk. My home mission, this was a study in where it's as hard for me as it is everybody else. I learned a lot. I learned things that I will put into place. And no, I don't have it down. Just wanted to say that first off, because it's easy to get up here and talk about it, but it's not easy always to do. I believe home mission starts with a personal relationship with God. We see this in Matthew 27:37-38. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Our relationship with God directly impacts every other area of our life, from our eternal destination to our character, to the quality of our relationships with other people. The first step to a strong relationship with Christ is being totally committed. It's a first priority. It takes a great commitment to be a world-class athlete. If a runner does not get up at what we call old dark 30 in the military to start running, he will never amount to much. He does this 7 days a week in all kinds of weather. He does not yield to feelings that say, "Sleep another 5 minutes. Skip today. It's cold, dark, and rainy." He obeys his commitment. Many people participate in sports, but few win Olympic medals or gain professional contracts. Many do not have those goals in mind, They just want to have fun or maintain some form of fitness. The higher their goal, the more intense and focused their exercise and practice becomes. All Christians are called to run the race. It is fortunate that in Christ, we all cross the finish line as partakers of his victory. Bethany Hamilton has become a source of inspiration to millions through her story of determination, faith, and hope. At the age of 13, Bethany lost her left arm to a 14-foot tiger shark, which seemed to end her career as a rising surf star. 1 month after the attack, Bethany returned to the water. Within 2 years, she had won her first national title. In 2007, she realized her dream of surfing professionally, and since then, her story has been told in New York Times best-selling autobiography and in the 2011 film Soul Surfer. Bethany is involved in numerous charitable efforts, including her own foundation, Friends of Bethany, which reaches out to amputees and youth, encouraging a broken world by offering hope to overcome through Jesus Christ. Her greatest joy is being a wife and mother, and she continues to touch and inspire lives globally as a professional surfer and motivational speaker. Now that's commitment. Making God our foundation. Isaiah 28:16. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. What a promise. Loving God first above all else necessarily means we'll also love others. In fact, you can't do one without the other. We each have to be striving for a relationship and a closeness with God, daily pursuing to know God. When we take the time and energy to engage with Jesus, we are never the same. It will expand your life beyond your wildest dreams. Building this foundation is of the utmost importance. If we want to be like Jesus, we have to have a connected heart like his. There are two habits we need to be imitating: the habit of prayer and reading the Bible. Prayer is our armored tank. Prayer is a major assault weapon in battle. Prayer can do anything because with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Prayer is privileged access to God of the universe, bought and paid for by the blood of his Son on our account for all those who freely receive him as Lord. Prayer is what infuses all our efforts and the genuine concerns of our heart with God's boundless ability. The Bible is the inspired word of God. It is a profitable to anyone who reads it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's word is eternal. Jesus is God's word. Jesus promised to reveal himself to us through his word. So when we study the Bible, we should always expect to find Jesus Christ, because he is to be found from the beginning to the end. He said, "If you seek me, you will find me." Sports fans read sports magazines. Political-minded people read political news magazines. Carpenters read house plans or blueprints. Doctors read medical journals. Yet there are millions of people in the world who claim to be Christians or believers in Christ and never pick up a Bible or read it. Couples write love letters to each other all the time because they want to hear flattering words of love from their mate. The Bible is God's love letter to us. If God's Holy Spirit lives in your heart today, doesn't it make sense that there should be a hunger inside of you to read his word to help your relationship with him grow stronger? We must have regular times of talking to God and listening to his word. I know it's easy to tune this out. All of us are busy. At times, all of us have been unsuccessful in developing healthy devotional habits. It's so important. The few tips I found along the way. First, establish a regular time and place. For some, morning is best. Others prefer evening, and others may pray throughout their day. Find what is best for you. Second, come with an open heart and an open Bible. God speaks to us through his word. As you read the Bible, ask God to speak to you. Study the Bible a little at a time. Mull over what you have read. Listen for God's voice. Then seek to put into practice what God has taught you. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job of each morning consists of in shoving them all back, in listening to that other point of view, letting the other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." Our second priority needs to be family. A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor thy father and mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one little boy, the oldest of the family, answered, "Thou shalt not kill." The most important mission field we have is our families. Lee Iacocca said, "No matter what you've done for yourself or for humanity, if you can't look back on having given love and attention to your own family, what have you really accomplished?" Our work for Christ is to begin with the family, in the home. There is no mission field more important. Testimonies, Volume 6. The home is the child's first school, and it is here that the foundation should be laid for a life of service. Ministry of Healing. As we start to examine these complex microcosms we call families, it immediately becomes evident that we don't all see them the same. From family to family, there's a lot of differences. And within families, we see a lot of differences between family members. It's not just because of genetics or gender or family birth order. There's another factor at play in the makeup of families. It's priorities. Whether or not we'll have priorities isn't a choice. It's just part of being human. So it is with priorities in our families. All of us have them, whether we try not to think about them at all, or we try to structure all our thinking around them, we have them. The way we regard our resources, our time, our money, concentration, energy, creativity, and health is a reflection of what our culture holds to be the most important in life. What's closer to home is the way our homes are a reflection of our priorities. You're here today. You're here today because you chose it as a priority for your life. Because not only do we all have personal priorities, we have priorities in our homes, and our homes reflect our priorities. The very definition of the word priority, we can see why the issue is so important, because our priorities flow the way we live our lives. Imagine with me that everyone here this morning was to leave with a foreign exchange student, and that student was here for the purpose to learn what's important to Americans by observing your home life. Where would he or she look? I imagine if you permitted it, the student would start taking notes about how much time you spend on your phone, computer, in front of the TV, what's on them, and how many of them are in your home. I imagine there would be some notes about where you spend your time, your eating habits, and the amount of sleep you don't get. I can see notes about how much family time is actually spent together and what kind of activities they're involved in outside home. I suppose a look in your checkbook register would tell a lot. And let's not forget the time you give over to church functions and serving others. After a couple weeks in your home, what would that student say about what's most important to Americans? It wouldn't be very comfortable, would it? If you're a parent with kids at home, it's exactly what's happening right now. The student who is studying your habits is your child. Our kids need models. There are thousands of models out there begging them to follow in their footsteps. Celebrities, rock musicians, and actors are inviting your kids to imitate them. Peers are saying, "Follow us, be cool doing what we do." The first few years of life, you are a hero to your child. Establish yourself as his or her role model. Gain respect. Get yourself in line with Christ, walking in his footsteps, and then invite your kids to walk in yours. Only God knows what a child gets from hearing their parents pray. Only God knows what a child gets from seeing the family worship together. Only God knows. Be an example. Deuteronomy 4:9. Here's the full verse. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen and let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach what you've seen and heard to your children and your grandchildren. The family is one of the key access points of God's purposes on earth. And your family, at the point of your sphere of influence, is a major component of what he's doing right here where you live. In order to make sure you're fully cooperating with him and with the enormous opportunity embodied in your family structure and its people, they do not need you to be on their backs. They don't need you to be in their faces, but down on your knees. I got that. God can help build our families. God himself invented the family. He knows what will work and what won't work. He can help fix whatever problem your family encounters. A story is told of Henry Ford. One day, he and his wife were driving in the country, and they came across a man whose Model T had broken down. He was under the hood trying to figure out what was wrong when Mr. Ford asked if he could take a look. And in just a few minutes, Mr. Ford had the Model T running. The owner was amazed and said, "I'm impressed with your knowledge of the Model Ts, and I'm amazed that you fixed it so easily." Mr. Ford replied, "I ought to be able to fix it because I'm the one who designed it." And dear people, that is how it is with God and the family. God says I can fix it because I designed it. God isn't going to wave his hand over you and your spouse and supernaturally transform the two of you into Ward and Jude and Cleaver. Nor will he wave his hand over your children and change them into the Brady Bunch kids. God doesn't work that way. He gives you the necessary tools and says, "Here's what you need. Get to work. And I will be with you every step of the way." We are so blessed to have those instructions in the Bible. The best way to teach a child is by godly example. Teach your children the Bible with your lips and back it up with your life, and it will make an impression on their young hearts. Though we provide for their physical needs, make sure they are well fed, clothed, given medical care, we sometimes fail at real love, which goes beyond those things to include our time, our prayers, and a willingness to die to self to create a Christ-centered home where they flourish spiritually. We must fight for our families. We must become guardians. 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who neglects to care for family members, he has denied the Christian faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Your role as a mom and dad is to stand in the gap, attentively listening to them, knowing the true condition of their hearts, praying with them, with your arms around them, as well as when they're not physically present with you. Be diligent in interceding to the Father for their protection, their character, their friendships, and their ability to stand up to temptation. They may not realize just how seriously the warfare is being waged against them, how many layers of spiritual opposition are working to claim their eye and interest. An enemy is after your children. I'm telling you, believe it, know it, but most important, deal with it by tunneling deep into your prayers and fighting back with every parental, spiritual weapon at your disposal. A family that prays together stays together, and more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. The men and women of old fought for their families. Moses fought and delivered his family from bondage. Noah protected his family from the flood. Joseph provided for his family during famine. David killed giants, preserving his brothers' lives. Esther's one night with the king saved an entire nation. Abraham fought to free Lot, his nephew, from captivity. Ruth fought to provide for her mother-in-law. And Jacob fought with Laban to win his family. Jairus fought for his deathly ill daughter's healing. We have to choose to make our home his home. In Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua made a choice for his home. His choice was for his household to serve God, one God only, to worship one God only, a choice against idolatry and for faithfulness. The challenges of Joshua's day are no less than those we live among today. We have to choose to live according to God's design for us in our homes and families. A plaque in a home read, "Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, and the silent listener in every conversation." Welcome his presence in your home. The salvation of our homes is of a paramount importance. We cannot save our families. Only God can. But we can build homes where God has given us the design. And that is a home that always points our families to Jesus, the Savior. Our kids will make their own choices, but we must point them in the right way. One day my children will leave home. One day they will set up home. But I pray that one day they will declare, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How do we invite God into our homes? We can exalt God in our homes, example Christ-likeness in our homes, encourage faithfulness in our homes, educate our children in God's ways, and establish godly values in our homes. The restoration and uplifting of humanity begins in home. The work of parents underlies every other, the well-being of society, the success of church, the prosperity of the nation depends upon home influences, ministry of healing. The movie War Room explores the power that prayer can have on marriages, parenting, careers, friendships, and every other area of our lives. Through the prayers and help of a strong Christian woman, the challenge is made to develop a personal relationship with God, to read the Bible and pray, to make a war room and a battle plan of prayer for the family. It is life-changing. It is a vivid reminder that God is with us and prayer is a life-changer. As the movie draws to close and hearts are full of rejoicing, this prayer was shared. May we raise them up, Lord. If you would bow your heads with me. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for being the Lord of Lords and kings of our lives. Be with each of us as we leave this place today. Draw near to us. Help us as we seek to become ready for battle, that we learn to pray and we seek you in your word. May you touch each heart that's here today. Bless them. Be with us. Be with each child here. Be with each person that wasn't able to be here today. Lord, draw us closer together. In your name we pray.